You're listening to the Fresh Take Network.
What it is, what it do. Welcome to the ISO. Joshua Adelaide Marathon here with Desiree Taylor from She Plays YYC. Desiree, good to have you on here. This is a long time coming for us to kind of collaborate and do a show here.
For sure. I've been a fan for a while. I like what you do and just, you know, appreciate elevating the culture and the game within Alberta. It's nice to finally get a chance to meet under, I mean, better circumstance would be better, but this is great.
Yeah. So how are you doing overall right now?
It is a lot. I wasn't expecting this type of feedback, you know, from this post. And I think it was important for us to give a little bit more context and be able to speak about it a bit more, because there's a lot of people out there with some strong opinions, some strong emotions. And I guess this is the time of year where you would experience those. So playoffs, championships, banners, they just sort of stir this up. So I guess I'm not surprised, but I am surprised.
Yeah, I got a chance. I normally don't get to be a fan anymore because this is my job. So right. I never really get to sit in the sidelines. I did sit in the sidelines for a high school game this week, and I did kind of get to see the full passion on all sides of it. And you can really see the passion that there is for this high school game. And there's a lot of different layers to it. I'm more involved on doing the collegiate side. Sometimes the provincial side of the game. So I don't get to see the high school side as much, but yeah, you can definitely see the passion, and obviously you saw the passion as well.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I know the game that you're referring to, it was the city championships between Centennial and Western. And these are two amazing programs coached by amazing coaches, and those, and also loaded with lots of Team Alberta players on both sides. So you're expecting a really good show from those schools. And that's one thing about Alberta. We're very vastly spread out. Like, there's eight different quadrants and school districts that all run themselves quite differently. So when you get to see caliber schools like that play against one another, it's definitely a good show. And you'll see it is passion. Because a lot of these girls, what you guys don't see behind the scenes, work a lot. Off camera, you know, when they say like, oh, you know, it's 95% of it is what you do off camera, 100% true. Like, I see these girls at a very young age. I have video footage of little Addie Lee from Centennial training during COVID with, like, you know, university players, because that's the only game you could find when COVID was on. So, Amanda Gus, Addie Lee show, and Sadie Secord, and the Newman girls, it's great basketball. I love it. Great time of year.
Yeah. What have you thought, you know, kind of watching the game grow, not just in Canada, but in Alberta? You named a lot of star players there. And I think from, you know, when my sister was younger, you really only had like the Calgary Selects kind of team back in the early 2000s. Now you have kind of an AAU model starting to get developed out here in Alberta. You have Genesis, you have the Edge, you have Canada Hoops Syndicate. You have North Pole Hoops. There's a lot more developmental side for everyone involved.
Oh, 100%. And I think you'll start to just see it get more and more. Like, it's the more, because obviously the need and the want is there. Like, it's hard to even find gym time a lot of the time. So the differences between, like, let's say, like, Ontario versus Alberta out there, if you go and even just chat GPT it, Google search it, they have anywhere between 30 and 60 prep schools. So if you want to now come over to just Alberta, we have two prep schools, right? And so that would be CTA up in Edmonton. They have a girls program. And, well, I guess if we're counting girls, there's only two. So there's a bit more for boys. And then the Edge down here. And then you'll have Notre Dame that just started this year with one. So in Canada West, which is comprised of essentially anything west of Manitoba, there's only three prep schools. And then you have your high schools, right? So, and you can't do both. You can't even transfer, because you can't even go from a prep school to a high school or a high school to a prep school. So you really have to, there's that divide. And when you look against the Girls of Ontario, they literally play basketball from September until April, and then they'll move into AAU, and then AAU will move into like nationals if they want to play nationals. So there's really only 1 month where you're off of basketball. So if that explains why there is a lot of passion at these games, it is a year-round sport for these players, not just the girls. It is all the time. It's become quite exhausting. So I imagine the parents are quite a little high strung. I mean, I am guilty of that. And, you know, I've been doing this for 10 years too, and I am not perfect. And that's one thing that starting a platform like this, you get humbled real quick. Yeah. You get reminded of things that you did, and you get some DMs that people hide behind, and that's okay. So I've got the shoulders for it, and I can talk about it because I've had two girls go through it, and they've done AAU, and they've done high school, and they've done provincials, and they've been coached by some of the best that Alberta can throw at them. And I applaud these coaches because it is no easy job. I applaud the refs. I applaud everybody because the way that this sport is growing at the pace that it is growing at, we need all the help that we can. And I feel like this cancel culture is really going to hurt us if we don't get in front of it and be really open and transparent about what goes on in these games, and that we are very quick to judge and jury people. But that can't be right moving forward, because my fear as a concerned person who loves this game, it's not even just about having kids that play it, because mine are out of it. I don't want to lose really good coaches. I don't want people to stop coaching because they don't want to deal with the headaches of coaching and the parents and the refs and all of the toxicity that comes with it. Because I've had some amazing coaches just get beat up by this community. And I'm sure the refs and the administration and all of that can say the same. And even people like us, because there's always people that don't agree with what we have to say or whatever. And they don't have to. It's just an opinion of one. One that's not afraid to talk.
Absolutely. Obviously, this is, you know, a post that just happened. They got you a lot of attention to your platform. But what was the initial idea behind you starting She Plays YYC?
She Plays started during COVID. And at that time, my oldest daughter was kind of in her big push, right? So big push in for recruitment. And there is not a lot of help when it comes to recruitment out here, because a lot of the coaches will say to you like, oh, like my job's not to get you recruited. That's your job. And it's 100% true. It is the athlete's job to help them get recruited. But what I have found through this process, a lot of us parents are like first generation parents. And what I mean by first generation parents is none of us went past high school, right? So we don't understand what it takes to get there. And I don't know about you, Josh, but when I was playing high school sports, there was nowhere near the type of caliber of training all of the stuff that these athletes have today. Like it was like, if you're good in high school, it's like, oh, let's go. But now it's so much more than if you're good in high school. So, anyways, it was COVID. My daughter at this time didn't really drive. So there was a lot of times where I'd be driving her back and forth, sitting in the parking lots with all the other parents while our kids either trained or played, because when they were allowed to play again, none of the parents were allowed in the gym. I met in my younger years before children, I went to film school and, you know, learned a lot about this medium and thought that, hey, you know, if people live stream at home, why can't you live stream from a gym, like using simple devices? So that's where it originally started. It started where I would just go into a gym. I was put on the coaching roster just so I could live stream the game to the parents out in the parking lot. And through that, obviously, it has grown. I started of just being girls, and then now there's employees and there's people that do this for me. And we stream a lot of boys games, girls games, sometimes more than basketball, and really hope to stream more than basketball moving forward, because I think there's, youth programs out there that definitely could benefit from more exposure. I've seen it firsthand work for my own daughters, let alone all the other daughters that I believe my platform has helped in the process, is really just bringing attention to their game and showcasing what they do. Through that, you see everything on the sidelines. And it's like, I'm like a, you know, the, what do they say when you're just on the wall watching everything, right? Like I'm just sitting there seeing everything transpire. And, you know, in my previous job, it was to sort of, you know, assess risk and threat and fix risk and threat and take away things and processes that were not needed. And you can see how things start to happen. It's like every action has a reaction, domino effect sort of like. And I think that's what sort of spawned me to really start speaking. Because not at first, this platform had nothing to do with me. It was all about the girls, and 100%, that's all I really want it to be about. But what I have learned through having my own daughters and being around so many of your daughters is that they don't like to post about themselves. They don't like to share their things because of this stuff like this. You kind of get that back, like that feedback where it's like, oh, you're not that good or this or that. And so they much rather someone else post it, because then it makes it look like they're not bragging. And I really would like to change that sort of culture, is that, you know, how do you get a job? You know, as you and I both know, that the only way that we can get a job is to go in there and sell ourselves and tell people what we're good at and tell people, you know, areas of opportunity that we should improve at. Like, it's that open transparency that I feel that so many people hide behind. Like, you can be, social media has helped so much, but then, as you know, the trolls are there and the people that have no idea what it takes to kind of play this sport at the level that these girls are playing at, speaking on behalf of them, because they don't have, I don't want to say they don't have the courage to do it themselves, because they do. It's the pushback. It's that, it's what happens after you stand up for yourself that I believe keeps women, girls quiet. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and you hit a big point too of, you know, I think a lot of these, athletes as well, don't have an opportunity to showcase off their stuff as much. And there's other skills that they can bring on. And I have seen that firsthand when I've done interviews with players, they will share it because I did the interview with them, and they're happy to show that, because then it's, oh, I can talk about myself and blah, blah, blah. And I don't want to be able to be braggadocious about it. And I think also, I talked to Eddie about this when I did stuff at the Edge this past fall. It's good media skills for a lot of them when they go to Canada West or they go to NCAA or ACAC. They're going to be doing interviews, so it's good to build up those skills. But it's also, I didn't grow up in the age being a player with socials, and
thank God, I
don't know what it's like to, you know, have a bad game and have someone criticize you and whatnot. So, you know, you do see a lot of these players have their accounts locked, and you have to, you know, request to have it in. And I don't blame them, because they're going to miss a shot or something, and some crazy fan in Canada West or ACAC or wherever they play is going to come after them or whatever. Right. So I don't blame them for doing that side of things either.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And it's so true. Right. Because, like, I feel what gets lost in a lot of this is the sport. Like, do you know what I mean? And you see it in the WNBA, and you even see it in the Unrivaled, right? Like, these women, like, they're almost kind of baited sometimes too. Like, you know, by
looking further than Angel Reese. Angel Reese can't do anything right now without it being criticized. She can't do, she can't say anything. She can't do, she can have a great game. Someone's going to go and criticize Angel Reese for something.
100%. You just saw it happen, like, right now when they were talking about the bargaining agreement that there's going to be coming up. Like she's now, if a vet player said that or someone else said it other than her, then I don't know if it would have been spun the way that it's been spun. But because she is boisterous and speaks out and is, and, you know, and good for her, because, you know, I feel that's one thing about what people miss about, like, okay, athletes are athletes and whatnot, and you should just be involved in your sport. Well, women are a little bit different. And even if you go and you look at what women have to advocate for every day and what men have to advocate for every day are very different things. And a lot of the things that women have to advocate for are so heavy, and it's not even about the sport, but they have this platform and these young women watching them. And it's like, yeah, you know, like, I'm going to keep on talking. I'm going to be truthful, at least tell you my truth. But I've also seen these women also admit when they're wrong, or it's gone too far, or, you know, they collectively stood together when it was Black Lives Matter, or Say Her Name, or all of these things. And it invoked real change. And that's what I think, when you have that on social media, and then you see what these George McDougall Mustang senior girls decided to do, Well, of course, look at what they're watching now. And shouldn't we be proud of these women? And like you and I were saying before we started recording, is like, these young women stood up for a man that has been by their sides for on and off, depending how long you've been in the surgery community, for the last decade. And he has volunteered his time before work, after work. And he's got two kids of his own that play in sport and club and whatnot. And when you see someone devote that much of their life and their time to you, like, I don't know. It just makes me so proud. Like, my daughter was not on this team, but I know she was watching that. And she called me right after bawling, because those are her girls. Like, that's her coach. And I guarantee you that my daughters would not be anywhere that they are today without coaches like that in their lives. And they've had many of them. And that's the beauty of it. And as everybody knows in this community, I can sit on the sideline and watch somebody and be like, they're a lot. And that could be a parent, that could be a coach, that could even be a ref. Like, there's some strong personalities. It doesn't mean that I get to take those biases into the next game and hold those biases against you.
And that's a great point.
You know, and if you take those biases into a game with you, then maybe you shouldn't be doing this, because it, like, we teach these kids to have next basket mentality. Mm-hmm. Well, you got to have next game mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, we got to go into every day like it's a new day, every game like it's a new game, and like, try to hold ourselves to a higher standard for these kids, because I'm telling you, the stats on kids that play collegiate sports are astounding. You know, just for the level of jobs that they, you know, create. I think women, it's like 95% of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and, you know, culture changers in our society come from playing team organized collegiate sports. That's huge. But then look at the number. The other number is also 67% of teenagers that are 16 and 17 also leave sports because of toxicity, bad coaching, body image issues, like bullying. Like, so it's like, if we could keep these kids in sports longer and believe in themselves that they can do what a lot of people say they can't do, because that's what happens, right? These kids start off just loving the game and wanting to play, and then over the years, it, like, their light kind of goes out a bit.
Yeah,
and that is so sad.
Absolutely. Well, the one thing I've really noticed too, and I mean, this is a no da what I'm about to say, but you really can tell the communal experience that these players have with each other, because you sometimes forget, you know, for me being up in the booth and not being a player anymore, you sometimes forget these players and these coaches are around each other more than their families. Like, this is like, you have a work environment, right? And you're like, oh, like, that's my second family, my work family. And it's like 100%. That with the teams, right? You're on buses, you're practicing with them, you know, you're doing everything with them. So there is a closeness that, you know, that I don't know if I ever forgot it, but doing some of these interviews the past few weeks that I've done now with the Dino Men or with the Trojan Women, for example, like, wow, like, these are really, everyone's close, but you're like, wow, these are really close groups. And that's a fundamental part of winning, but it's a fundamental part too of their life afterwards, of relationships that are bonded, and that goes to the coaching side as well.
Oh, you know, these women are going to be at each other's weddings, and you know, they're going to be each other's references for future jobs. And like, the reach goes far. Like, as much as basketball is a big community, it's a very small community. Like, everybody knows everybody or knows of everybody. Right. Yeah. And, but yet sometimes we are too, we don't ask the questions, or we don't approach one another, or we just, you know, don't think they don't know us the way that, you know, we know them. But like, you had said something earlier about, you know, how these girls that you interview build up this relationship with you. I mean, I think I watched one of your stories before we jumped on here, and I saw Ava Curl's story and how she said, the only man I talk to on the sidelines, right? And like, that's what, yeah, I mean.
Both Ava and Kyler will not do interviews. Like, they're not comfortable. And I, you know, talking before, like, I'm not comfortable doing an interview, but I'm okay doing it with you. And I was like, you know, that you can because say it's corny or whatever, but that's more to me than getting paid for the job, because stuff like that, and then broadcasting to families that aren't able to come to the games, that's why I do it. And that can sound corny and cliche to anybody, but that is the reason that I do it.
I don't think it's corny or cliche at all, because I'll say the exact same thing, right? Is that you've built this trust with these girls because they have seen you on the sidelines and baselines through a lot of their careers, their highs and their lows. And when you get privy to see that and then they allow you into their small circle, like that's a huge thing. And I'm in that same boat. I know a lot of basketball players, and I know a lot of, you know, like NCAA basketball players. I know some, okay, I like to say I've met some WNBA players. Maybe one day we'll be friends, but like you meet all these people along the way, and it's just like, how much do we actually take the time to say, like, you've made an impact on me, or you have helped me, or you, thank you for bringing me through that time where I didn't think anybody understood how I was feeling, or I wanted to, like, leave, or someone told my story and twisted it or didn't give it the justice that it needed. Like, you know, like with women especially, like it's very delicate because we are very emotional, we are very feeling, and a lot of the times we shut down before we use our voice. And that's why when we do start using our voice, we get labeled as maybe being passionate or emotional or animated or whatever it may be. But that's because we sat and we observed for so long before we kind of got to this point of like, okay, like honestly, now we're gonna words, right? Yeah. And that's just because it's like, just like you developing those relationships, I've developed my own relationships, and we're media. Like, we're there to capture a story or tell a story, but we don't spend the same amount of time that coaches and management, like managers and athletic therapists, spend with these girls in intimate settings, right? We kind of see the outside of it. So, but seeing that outside of it, you just develop that love for it.
And absolutely. Heart. You know, for me, like a big thing for me was seeing a Cooper Ward who plays for Med Hat when I had one of his last games, and him being like, hey, glad this is one of my last games you're broadcasting. Or, you know, Caleb Jipp. I was lucky enough to call Caleb Jipp breaking the ACAC scoring record, and Caleb being like, I'm glad it was you that did it. And these are visiting players. These aren't players for the host teams that I have. And I've always said, I try to stay neutral. I'm not, yes, I work for the Dinos or the Trojans or Ambrose, but I just happen to work there. When I'm there, if I'm doing the Dinos and Lethbridge, then I'm calling it either side. Yeah. So when you get those away players commenting on things, you're like, that's exactly why we do it, because they're tuning in and they have family members watching games and whatnot, and they want the same amount of love back. And, you know, being in this is my 12th year doing this. And I will say, doing 12 years, going to that high school game this week and doing the stuff at the Edge were the two times where I was just like, this game is going to be in a different level. Specifically, the guys are doing great. We have some great guys. Shout out to Cole Beckering again. I keep wanting to give him a shout because Cole Beckering is a special talent. But getting to watch the stuff that the women have been able to do, and it was so cool to see Jersey Robinson come up here.
Oh, yeah, I went to the Edge. Yeah.
That was really cool. But you know what was cooler was to see an Amanda Gus, to see a Pippa Gibb, and see these other talented athletes. I'm probably forgetting
her.
Talented, but just get to see them and then be so upset. I'm like, when are they in Canada West? When are they in ACC? Can I get to them now? Because I just want to broadcast their games now, because I'm just so excited to watch them play.
Yeah. And you know what? That's been what I've been kind of preaching for the last couple of years, because like I've seen that high level of basketball. You see what they do down in the States and down even, you know, out East or in even Montreal. You got to remember, Montreal has CJIP. That's a whole nother, it's a whole nother level of basketball that we don't know about. Right.
And they're very strict. When the Trojans faced Dawson in the Nationals 2 years ago, getting to talk to the Dawson coaches, they have a limit of how long players can play there. That's why you see players. I think one of the guys that was on Trojans, I'm forgetting the guy's name, last name was Dano. He transferred to the Trojans, because I think at Dawson, they only have you for 2 or 3 years. And then players just transfer because they have such a limited time that they let you be there.
So from what I understand, I'm definitely no expert, but they definitely spend like a grade 12 and a grade 13 year in CJIP, and it doesn't count towards eligibility. So, right. So they get this like next level of basketball that you don't see very often. And I think a very good example, I don't know if you were at the Nationals when they were here in Calgary, but that was when Montreal gave everybody, our Quebec gave everybody a good run for their money and won it, right?
Yes, I was there for that. And that Quebec team was so good.
so good, right? Well coached and young. Like those girls, so those girls that you saw beat Ontario 2 years ago haven't even left high school yet.
Yeah.
So when you see that level of basketball they were playing in grade 10, like that just sort of tells you where they're at. Like Quebec, Montreal, like wherever you are and into that, it's a different level of basketball. And you're right, they keep to themselves, but when they come out and they compete, it's like, oh, there they are. You know, like very, very, very highly knowledgeable kids when it comes to IQ and the way that movement and role playing really matters at that next level. It's why they dominate when we make it internationals, and I bet you they will be dominant again this year.
Yeah, and it makes me excited for what we have for the game as far as growing that side. We obviously have Toronto WNBA team coming here. I mean, for anyone that knows, I did a video in the summertime preaching for a women's CBL, and I talked to Jason Ribeiro from The Surge about it at Sneaker Expo this year, and he's like, you know, there's been talks about it, but nothing concrete, and it upsets me because, you know, you look at what the Women's Hockey League has done, and they've done such a sensational job. And there's just, you know, I watch these senior nights from these players, you know, for example, I'll go, sorry to make it so Trojans heavy, but I'll include Mary's in this as well. But, you know, I look at a girl like Meet Miller or Jasmine Kellogg, right? From Mary's.
Yep.
They're done now. Brooke Baker and Anir Wall after these nationals, they're just done. These are talented players that, you know, and we've seen in the CBL now, ACAC athletes are getting drafted. And I wish that we had this ability to have a CBL women's division, so then these players know what they can go for, because you look now at a guy like Nate Petrone, who last year Stingers had such depth, cut him, goes and works out a little bit with the Surge. First opportunity to play since having his season end with the Dinos was in this Filipino charity game. And he explodes because he was ready to prove the world wrong. And then he goes on to be Canada West Player of the Year this year. And now we'll have an opportunity to probably be a first pick in this CBL draft this year. We need an outlet like that for the women, for that side of
100%.
Things.
100%.
To know, like, hey, I can work towards this in my summer.
Yeah. And like, honestly, all those girls that you named are legends. They are ACAC legends that came from Genesis, that came from Supreme, that came from Lethbridge. Like those girls have been playing around. Like I used to watch them when my oldest daughter was still playing too, and they were older, and it was just like, they were good then. They are great now. And I hope that you will either see them try to continue to play pro or get it at a high level coaching, because those are the type of women that should get into coaching, because they know it. They know the grind, and they know Alberta inside and out, and they've done it, right? And that's the thing, is that it's hard, because especially with women as they age within this sport, like it's like, yeah, you got to have a job, you want to start a life, you want to start a family, and it becomes quite challenging. And that's why it takes like a community. It takes a lot of assistants and managers and volunteers and parents and whatnot. It takes a village to really make a good team go. And, you know, you can talk about the state team and even like St. Mary's, and like see what St. Mary's even just did. They had a coaching switch. I mean, St. had a coaching switch, and look at what they did with their programs to help get them to where they are.
Absolutely. I work with Abdel at the Canada Hoop Circuit, but what he was able to do to step in there to replace a legendary coach like Steve Schultz that won an ACAC championship with the legendary Montana Rum Real, and then step into those shoes and then take that team to the final that year and have a player of the year that's also the defensive player of the year, have an all-star in Jasmine Kellogg. And I can list all the great players on that Mary's team. That's a phenomenal job stepping in there.
Huge.
And for
a school that doesn't even have a real gym, let's call a spade a spade.
No,
like,
well, that's why there was the talk when, you know, before, you know, I would say, you know, respect to Briarcrest, before Briarcrest kind of shocked us this year on the men's side, there was a talk, Seder, St. Mary's will host the ACAC championship for men's. It's just, what gym will it be in? Because Sate's kind of temporarily not there. Do they do it at the bubble? And Mary's doesn't have a real gym. So when we get to this, and then obviously Briarcrest made us all shut up and It's like, hey, we're really, really good, and we're going to win the ACC championship. So stop your Calgary bias talk, and good for them. And they won the ACC championship. Congratulations to them. But yeah, so for Mary's to build that without a gym is great. And now they have the all-time ACC leading scorer for men's, and had some great seniors there. And you know, Abdel is going to bring in a great class there as well.
Of course, like Abdel is, like, again, I could talk about Airdrie connection. He is legendary out here and started, you know, working with SC Elite when, you know, Coach Jamie was there, and then he did Pivot, and then he did Gotham. And like, so he's been around like the club circuit and the high school circuit for years. So I'm very happy to see where he's gotten and what he was able to do within his first year. So, you know. They're going to be a team to watch for the next couple of years for sure. And I've always said this when I talk to people that are asking, like, oh, you know, what about like schools and where should I go and this or that? I'm like, you know, there is nothing wrong with ACAC. There is nothing wrong with PacWest. Some of the best basketball comes out of those two leagues. And to watch what they were able to do last year and this year and what I think they should be able to do is huge. Like, I don't like, and they're, everyone's basketball journey is different, and whether or not you want to go and play at the college level or JUCO or, you know, U Sport NCAA, whatever it may be, just go to where you're wanted, go to where the culture is there, because spending 4 to 5 years with the team, you got to make sure that that culture is probably the most important thing. It's not about the dubs and, you know, the L's at this point. It's about where are you going to be happy. And when you got a coach like Abdel created a culture like that within the first year, it's pretty good. Nicely done, Abdel.
Marty Berkey did that at State. You look at a guy like Charlie Connor, easily could have been a Canada West player. Same with Marcus Masters. They all could have been Canada West level talent, but Marty brought them into a system right there. And Matt's trying to do that right now there. So that you build that, and then you look at, coincidentally, with, you know, what I think what Mount Royal doing for the women right now, Robin has done. I like to give Robin her flowers whenever she can. You know, she comes from coaching with Scott Edwards at Alberta, and you know, now she's done stuff with the Surge, and she's done a really good job of building this Mount Royal team to you know, a team that's consistently in Canada West playoffs, consistently making pushes, doing a good job recruiting there. Robin, I think, is one of the best coaches that we have right now in Calgary.
I have been a Robin fan for a very long time. My daughters used to play at CBA, and that is definitely where Josh and Robin will spend some of their times in the summer, and especially they create the Pebble League as well. So we're in talks of live streaming the Pebble League moving forward this year, which is great, because I feel like the Canada West girls definitely need the same sort of exposure. And you know what? Just because they choose to play in Canada West and not necessarily travel down into the States doesn't mean that this is not caliber basketball. It's smart, high IQ Canada West future basketball players for sure. And Robin, I have seen her on the sidelines. I have seen her. Kudos to anyone that can wear heels in a basketball game like that. Like on a female level, I just want to say nicely done, Robin. But she, there's many moments with Robin, but I know for Robin, she is so passionate, and I have seen her defending women in sports. That's her job. She'll tell you that. She's like, I did my first part of my role, my job is defending female athletes, and the next part is growing amazing humans and bringing them together, right? Like, she is a very great example of someone who has just sort of elevated basketball within Calgary, especially. You know, it's nice to see that she'll be coaching the national team this year, or the Canada, the U, well, no, not national. What is it? Because this is the year where you have the Canada Games. So she'll be coaching that U17 team down in the East. And a lot of those girls that she's coached before are coming from Team Alberta at U15 and then into U17. So she's definitely one to watch for. And that team, like, they're losing a few seniors this year in those Ahlers, in the Ahler sisters, legendary girls that come out of Red Deer, from also legendary parent coaches at Lindsay Thurber. So you see all of these legendary people coming up through the system that you hope to keep within the system as long as possible, because they are the ones that are going to take this community, you know, forward. And I wish there was more Robins. And I do believe you'll start to see more of them. But she's got a young team now, and that young team is comprised of some really, really good players that we haven't even heard much from yet. And I'm excited to see where
they go. I was a little bit annoyed by the Canada West schedule makers, because Mount Royal has had the Dino game back-to-back years at MRU, and I'm like, all right, like, can I get one of these Girl Child Classics to broadcast, please? I'm a little jealous of our fellow MRU broadcasters. They got back-to-back Girl Child Classics, and there was a moment even for our men this year where the way the bracket was going to look is we almost had a Girl Child Classic for the men. I was like, finally!
But well, you want to talk about, like,
haven't been nice to us for that.
You want to talk about heated crowds. Like, some of those signs are legendary. I love the signs that come out of those. Like, my favorites are when you'll see, like, the Dinos unfortunately make fun of MRU, or it's like, you're not a real school, or you only go there because you didn't get in. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like the savageness that happens, but it's what it's all about.
Yeah. And I, you know, we had a really good pack the Jack this year. And, you know, I looked at my colleague, Jermaine Cummins, and I was just like, I just want to have one of these Girl Child Classics, because we've been haven't had them the last few years. And you see the hockey ones and how they come out for the hockey games at the Dome, and it's electrifying. So hopefully next year, and I haven't had a U of A game actually for a while either. And you know, Scott Edwards is, you know, a family friend because he coached my sister. So I've always happy to see him, and he's losing a
Just
shouting players out. Claire Signatovich as well. Just if I had to do a list of the top players I've seen in 12 years of broadcasting, Claire is just mad. In that Canada West Championship 2 years ago against the Dinos, she was just dominant.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Like, even if you want to take a look at Saskatchewan, who, you know, has kind of stopped them, Saskatchewan has a lot of phenomenal Alberta players on their team, right? Like, and that's where it's like, you go, you look at these teams, and like, some of their best players come out of this province, right? Like, those rivalries and those roots run deep. And like,
by the way, we need to start a campaign for Lisa Tomitas to the Naismith Hall of Fame, to the Basketball Hall of Fame, because I don't know how many Canadian coaches have made it to the Basketball Hall of Fame. And obviously she coaches Germany as well, but you go and look at that. You're not going to find many basketball coaches with a better resume than Lisa Tomitas.
No. And even if you watch her basketball, so like when Saskatchewan had to play against Carleton last year, right? Like it's two different types of basketball, and you can see it. It was very evident that they played very differently. And one thing I can say about Saskatchewan, they are so fundamentally smart, right? Just, and like the discipline that it takes to kind of be properly spaced out and to know where that kick out is, or to know where your people are when you can't see them, right? Like, there's that type of basketball, and I think it's very smart and tough basketball to play against. And then you look at Carleton, where it's like their point guard just dominated that game, just killed them, this little 5'4", you know, point guard game. And it was a completely different type of game. It was, you know, that was more of a dominant point guard game, whereas Saskatchewan was definitely more of a team play, right? But two different types of basketball, both equally effective, both equally good, and phenomenal coaching by phenomenal women, because Carleton is also led by a dominant female coaching staff as well. So it's really cool to see, and I love it. And these girls deserve the same sort of exposure and support that, you know, I would say the male counterparts might get a little bit more of, or just even a little bit more support. I feel like a lot of people like to talk for women or speak on behalf of women, because maybe we don't speak up enough yet, but we're getting there. We are getting there, and we're getting a little bit more comfortable with it. But I do really, I had to shut down some of the comments on that post for those of you that might question it and ask, because it starts becoming about not the basketball. It starts becoming a pissing match, or he said, she said, and that's not what that post was ever supposed to be about. It was literally supposed to be about we need to support these young adults, these young athletes, because they are amazing. They're not children anymore when we are playing varsity basketball. They are young adults. Yep. And they deserve the same type of support and same type of like due process, you know, to have their beloved coach replaced after having nothing on file in 10 years. No, just done before a day. And a day before one of their biggest games, and to be basically told that we have a warm body for you to go play your game with. So do the right thing and go do this. And they're like, what? You know, so just keep in mind, you know, my suggestion to everybody at home is that this is what's been going on at the youth level doesn't need to happen. We can find a better way and be humble and realize that, you know, I have contributed as a parent before where I have been humbled and learned that maybe I should do a little bit more investigating before I communicate sometimes, or maybe I don't, just because I can't say it doesn't mean I always should say it. But then there are some things that I'm like, nope, my shoulders are big enough to take this. So let's go. And it's really just out of concern for the entire community. Like you and I have been talking about all these great players and great coaches. Well, it starts at the U level, or the minis, yeah. The U11s, right? Like these are all volunteer coaches. We don't get there without them. And I've seen some amazing coaches ostracized and just basically, you know, replaced when there hasn't been a proper due process. And I feel like, you know, especially where we are with social media and the types of technologies that we have, there's no reason why we can't have proper investigations before we make like life-altering decisions. And for an athlete going to high school provincials, that is a life-altering decision for some of them. Maybe not all of them, but definitely for some of them.
No, it absolutely is. You know, as someone that was a player, you know, the coach bond too that you have is so important, because it's not just part of being on the court. It's also part of a pregame. And a trust too, right? Of how you're going to guide me on and off the court as well.
100%. And if you watch that whole stream of them walking out, they went and sat down. And after they sat down, they then proceeded to pack up the chairs, put them away, sweep the floor, cover up the mats. Like they were very respectful about it. They knew they had to be respectful about it, because if they were going to be disrespectful about how they decided to peacefully protest, they knew that the scrutiny was going to be much worse than it already has been. So, you know, it was done with lots of consideration, lots of thinking, lots of discussion, especially for those senior girls, because they knew that this would potentially be their last game that they played, and the ramifications of coming with speaking up. You got to remember, they got to walk the stage in a couple months, and they got to shake the hand of administrators. And I don't hate the administration or anything. I know that they are overworked, their union. Like my daughter is going to school to be a teacher. So I'm not sitting there saying that they have an easy job or anything like that. But there's going to be a time where I think you're going to get more and more separated from having sports in high school. Because you already see it with the arts a little bit, you know, that, you know, the things that make high school fun and great are slowly being stripped away from a lot of high schools because of budgets, because of manpower, because of this, that, and the other. And that's a concern too, because for a lot of things, like sports is an outlet, arts is an outlet. These kids need that.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's a solid way to end right there. I appreciate you coming on, and I look forward to having some more conversations in the future.
For sure. I love basketball, and I can talk about this for days, honestly. And I love watching you and hearing you, and especially coming from a different U Sports school. I love that you are unbiased, and you and your team, honestly, are very informative on both sides. I heard more about some of our players from Grant from your podcast than I hear from that one, but. Or not podcast. What am I saying? Live stream. You know what I'm saying. Yeah, broadcast. Yeah. But just thank you. You know, like I said, appreciate it's a small community. And the more of us that have these types of conversations and sort of bring things to the surface and, you know, just help people understand that we just want to get you guys out there and your stories out there and elevate this great sport in our province and our country. And I think we're at a good time. And like you said, with that tempo starting, Serena Williams being one of the people behind it, it's only going to get bigger and better. So we're in a good spot.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for coming on. Until next time, folks.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Until next time, folks, cheers and enjoy the day, people.